Capital Speaks, A Presidential Conversations, CODA, by George S. Corey. Art and Inspiration by the artist Cleo. Peace is not the absence of conflict. It is the peaceful resolution of conflict. Ronald Wilson Reagan, 40th President of the United States. It was love at first sight. I first saw the Capitol lit at nighttime in the spring of 1985, driving into the district from National Airport for law school interviews. It did not take long for me to realize that I was home. Washington, D.C. was where I wanted to live and work. That first visit was spent with a Hill staffer who lived in a group house with other staffers on Capitol Hill in view of the Capitol. My wife's experiences mirrored mine. She lived in Alexandria, Virginia before law school and was equally determined to live and work in D.C. When we returned as first and second year law students for summer clerkships, we lived in view of the Capitol. When we graduated from law school, most of our chill time was spent in the neighborhoods surrounding the Capitol. We picnicked on the Capitol lawn for Independence Day, anticipating fireworks and the thunderous firing of the live cannons for the 1812 Overture. We took in Memorial Day and Labor Day concerts to mark the beginning and end of each summer in the sweltering D.C. humidity. We took pride in taking friends and family visiting from the Midwest on tours of the Capitol and loved jogging up and down the brutal hill itself, which, by the way, is exactly 1 mile if you do the hard loop of the entire Capitol grounds. As young lawyers, we could each see the Capitol from our office buildings. Then, as more seasoned lawyers, that was the view each of us had from our respective office windows, a view that has never ceased to fill with inspiration and wonder. We knew, when we moved to D.C., that the Capitol was a powerful symbol the world over. And after 30 years of living and working under the watchful gaze of the Capitol Dome, we have come to understand, deep in how we define our love for this country, that the Capitol represents democracy. That is why it embodies America as the shining city on the hill. It welcomes anyone who has something to say. It stands up and stands out as the world watches. In recent years, as board members of civic organizations, we've spent time inside the Capitol, had lunch meetings in the Senate dining room and coffee with staff in the congressional cafeteria, discussing the work and needs of our nonprofits. We've gotten to know staff at the architect of the Capitol, the organization charged with stewarding the landmark buildings and grounds of the Capitol complex, and have heard from them some of the most fascinating stories about the architectural oddities of the Capitol building. Our most memorable Capitol experience was in the summer of 2006, being taken on a true behind-the-scenes tour of the dome, almost unchanged since it was completed in 1865. We remember being struck by how President Lincoln insisted on its rebuilding despite the ongoing Civil War and considerable pushback, as the symbol that best represented the Union. We felt transported as we experienced the rotunda, the ceiling fresco, the 300 almost vertical steps through the iron-cast spaces between the two shells of the Capitol Dome, up, up, up to the Tholos pedestal, where stands the Statue of Freedom and the most remarkable view of the city from its geographical and political center. This kind of tour is only permitted if accompanied by a member of Congress. And we spent the tour with Mike Honda, then the representative of California's 15th District. It was his first tour of the dome, and he was as awestruck as we were. Climbing the steps between the shells of the 9,000-pound cast iron outer dome and inner dome, making our way around the narrow walkway inside the upper dome, gazing in awe at the Constantino Brumidi canopy fresco, a monumental painting called The Apotheosis of Washington. And ending on the uppermost turret encircling the 20-foot-tall bronze Statue of Freedom, where we took in the remarkable 360-degree view of the four quadrants comprising the district. It was as if the Capitol was standing at the center of the nation's ley lines, The grandeur of the edifice made a deeply personal mark on our souls that has remained ever since. Then, January 6th, 2021. I have found that nothing has helped me more to process the anger I felt since that day than to sit down and express myself through writing. The artist Cleo has expressed the same when preparing the art for this passage, which she also inspired. I remember the barrage of shocking images and the chilling reports emanating from my iPad, including these words: "The Capitol has been breached." This pattern continued through the day as we watched and prayed for the lives of the congressmen and women and senators, their staffs, the members of the Capitol Police, and other law enforcement tasked with quelling this uprising. Like them all, enduring and returning to continue the work of the nation, we felt we must stand up with them. At first, I didn't want to be okay with my anger. I wanted to fan the flame and keep it strong. But I soon realized that feeding it would ultimately accomplish nothing. Instead, I watched interviews with social workers. I read articles by psychologists. I reflected on how we got to this point. And I wrote, "I have now dedicated myself to learning ways to bring our countrymen and women, many of whom may be loved ones, back from the brink. But we must, all of us, put in the work. I, for one, am committed. I'm also sad. We live in D.C., only 5 miles from the Capitol, and have not gone downtown or to the mall, let alone the Capitol, since March due to the pandemic. This will be the first inauguration we will miss seeing in person since 1989. We've always watched the swearing-in from the Capitol and been on the parade route. But this week, even if COVID-19 was not a factor, we would not go. We have always felt safe in D.C. That is not the case anymore. At least not today." In trying to find the words for this moment in history, I continue to reflect on our beautiful Capitol building itself. Then, it spoke to me, and now, to you. In a deep basso voice, friendly and warm, the Capitol addresses the children first. "Hello, my young friends. Please don't be frightened by the people who rushed into my halls last week. It was just a grown-up temper tantrum. I have seen and heard plenty of people, even grown-ups, get angry and yell, and I bet you have too. Now, while all people should make their voices heard, these grown-ups were loud and interrupted our leaders in Congress who were working inside my chambers. These grown-ups didn't use their words. They just yelled and pushed through my front doors, broke my windows, and made a mess in my halls. They even caused other people to be hurt. Remember, children, violence is never the answer. But I was not afraid. And you should not be afraid either. We have lots of good helpers who will keep me and you safe from harm." Then the Capitol speaks directly to the young adults and grown-up adults. "You have watched what happened as it was happening, and so you know that this was no game. You may not know, however, the thoughts shuddering through my hallowed walls. How could you breach my walls, which have held so strong since the British Army almost burned me down in the War of 1812? How could you trample my grounds where George Washington himself laid my cornerstone? How could you desecrate my halls where so many other patriots have toiled for us since 1800? How could you defile the rotunda and deface Statuary Hall, the original chamber where Congress assembled? How could you endanger the dome fresco when it celebrates Washington giving up power and giving it to the people? How could you defile the statues and paintings that have watched over us for over 2 centuries? How could you jeopardize both my greatest treasure, John Trumbull's painting, the Declaration of Independence, and one of our truest symbols of the American conscience, the bronze bust of the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. How could you tarnish the legacy of the great American leaders whose noble spirits are still present? Tell me, how? But friends, as bad as the 6th of January was, it could have been so much worse. Most of the physical damage was done to my windows and doors, and not to the true treasures I hold, the men and women who represent us, and those who work here to protect and preserve the ideals we all profess. So, let us be vigilant. Let us continue our struggle to bend the arc of history towards justice. But let us never forget the events of this day, the lessons learned, and warnings heeded. Let us never forget the day's heroes and those who fell. And let us never forget the American values and democratic ideals I symbolize, that withstood the challenges of that day, and that will withstand any challenge we face as one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.